Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's podcast is presented by Pago. Pago is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Pago. Apply today to become a member of it and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's Pago.co at Pogo.co, and be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Pago section of this application.
Hey guys, this is Eric and Jessica Carrier, the hosts of the Prairie Land Paranormal Podcast.
And you're listening to
the Monster Legend Podcast.
In the dark of the night comes a shimmering light to guide you. All along the twisted roads in your mind, darkness grows. And the whispering trees blow a dark haunting breeze right through you. Telling tales young and old, I hope that you'll enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to Monster Legend Podcast. I'm your host, Tanner, and today we have special guest, Anastasia. How are you doing?
Hey.
Hi. Man, you're a really talented person.
Oh, thank you. I keep busy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, what would you want to come on the show for?
Well, it was a paranormal show, and I do a paranormal show called Haunts and Hops, and it seemed right up my alley.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, what's all Haunts and Hops about?
Well, we pair craft beer, then we talk about ghosts and cryptids and sometimes aliens. We're trying to get into aliens, but none of us are experts in aliens, so we're just like kind of shooting in the dark about aliens. But I would love to talk more about aliens with like an expert, but right now it's mainly paranormal and cryptids and craft beer. Yeah, it's really a fun show, and we've had some really good guests on, and we've had a lot of fun with it, and some very weird stories.
Very weird.
Yeah. We actually have a call-in line, so people can call in and tell their stories, and people have been really cool about it. Like, we even got one about La Lorena. Yep. You know, the ghost that wails and you know, it's like a harbinger of death. Somebody called in and talked about seeing that one somewhere. I was like, whoa, oh no, are you okay?
Yeah. I think she's like a lady off the bridge, and she like drowned her kid or something.
Yeah, something. I think they said that it was like near a lake, and yeah, it was It was a really creepy story. I was so happy that they shared it with us, but I was also like very like worried. I was like, this one's really creepy.
What got you interested in paranormal?
You know, I was a creepy kid. I used to like talk to things and see things from a very young age. And so when I became a teenager, my mom was really very supportive of anything I really wanted to do. And she was like, well, maybe since you see these kind of things and you have like feelings about these things, you should get, you know, like more information. So I basically got certified in paranormal and cryptids and took classes and stuff and then started investigating. Yeah, because it just seemed like the most productive way to deal with, you know, just being the creep that I was.
What kind of things would you see? What kind of thing? You said you'd see things?
Yeah, I would see spirits. Yeah. I once had a whole conversation with my grandmother who had passed away quite young. And I knew details about her that my mom hadn't really disclosed. So that was interesting. Yeah, I mean, mainly just like that kind of stuff. Like I used to go places and get really like strong feelings about things. Apparently when they took me to Gettysburg, I freaked out. I was like maybe like 5 or 6 and I like ran out into the battlefield and like cried. And you know, I was 5 or 6 years old, so I didn't really know what Gettysburg was at the time. But apparently I had a strong emotional reaction.
Imagine.
Yeah. So creepy little kid. Creepy adult, creepy little kid.
So what's been your favorite craft beer from the podcast?
Okay, I have to say this Fluffernutter beer I tried on the podcast, it was really good, except for the fact that I'm very allergic to peanuts. So peanut butter marshmallow stout was delicious, and I kept drinking it, and my lips just throughout the whole show were just like,
oh no.
But I just couldn't stop drinking it. It was so good. And my co-hosts were like, you can stop, you've already tasted it on air. And I'm like, I don't want to. It's so good. It's worth the EpiPen later. So that one, I would say, is a pretty strong pull for me, if it was that good that I that I tempted anaphylactic.
Wow, that sounds good.
Yeah, marshmallow, peanut butter, and like a dark stout beer. It was really, I mean, like you just like wanted to pour it over ice cream or something. It was just so good. I'm all about the beer float life and love beer floats, and that would have been a perfect beer float. With a nice scoop of vanilla ice cream, it would have been great.
Or beer float.
Yeah, right? I mean, the best beer floats are, I feel like, well, I'm a stout girl anyway. Yeah. I'm not an IPA girl. I always discuss this on the podcast because I make the most horrible faces when I have to try IPAs. It's just like, whatever. But I love stouts. Just like real hearty, like beers with like, you know, bite to them. And and there's something about putting a scoop of ice cream.
Yeah, for the, I'm trying to think of I don't even know the difference between IPA and stout.
So like a stout would be like the darker, like almost like a Guinness would be a stout.
Oh yeah, I like those.
Yeah. And then an IPA is like it's a paler beer, but it's really bitter. It has like a really bitter aftertaste. That some people love. Like some people are all about that bitter life. I am not. So you know, it's to each their own.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not my it's not my cup of tea or glass of beer. Yeah. But some people love them. One of my co-hosts, Ashley Trobe, she is all about that IPA life. The more IPA you can get, like the double, the triple IPAs, she's like all about it. The bitter, the better.
I don't like dry alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, it's even more than like, it's just like, it has this like aftertaste that like just really like makes you like, I don't know, for me.
Yeah.
Some people love it. If you're one of those people, I respect you. But it's just not my thing.
What's your like a liquor of choice?
Oh, I'm kind of like a Scotch whiskey girl.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like, but I'm not super peaty. Yeah. Not, I mean, I can take a peaty one, but it's not my top favorite.
Favorite whiskey?
Favorite whiskey? It's so hard. I think I would have to go into a Scotch whiskey for that. My favorite one. I was really into... Well, you know, we'll stay with whiskey. I was really into Johnny Walker for a bit. I was really into a Johnny Walker life for a bit.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's also like one of those ones that's like super easy to get. Yeah. Yeah, and I think, I mean, I'm a simple girl. I like whiskeys. I like bourbons. You know, I can get fancy with it, you know, and then I can get, you know, just really casual and just have some classic Johnny Walker, you know.
Pour some rocks is good.
Yeah, right? It's perfect.
Got a last bottle I got was a... Got some, like, Buffalo Trace and, like, Johnny Walker Black.
Those are good.
And what's that other one? I feel a Canadian one. What's it called?
Canadian. It's not the one that says like Canada in it, isn't it?
Let me look at it.
Which one is it?
Crown Royal.
Oh yeah, my dad used to drink that. I think that was my dad's favorite. It was what we would like sneak away, like in his, you know, his stash.
Oh yeah. So what's stand up like?
Stand-up is interesting nowadays right now because we're doing a lot of Zoom shows, you know? But I'm actually doing my first in-person show since quarantine tonight. So it'll be interesting because we'll actually have an audience that we can not hear. Like you can hear on Zoom, you can hear people on Zoom, but it's not the same. You know, you're like hearing their environment and like every once in a while you hear a laugh. An audience is very like unique. You can really feel that energy. So I'm excited to do in-person shows again. But it's fun. It's all about telling your truths in a funny way, right?
So how's the writing joke? I'll try to think of like, I wanted to like talk about doing stand up, but like I can't like think of a joke at all. It's hard.
Yeah, I mean, there, you know, there's like really ways to structure jokes and stuff like that, but I find the most authentic way is like to start noticing when you're talking to people and they start laughing, you know, like what kind of jokes, like, or even just like stories you're telling and then like hearing people's reaction and then just kind of solidifying that. Like, that's the way that a comic or a stand-up comedian really is working. They're trying out material like all the time, or they're noticing when people laugh and they're like, okay, so why did they laugh at that? And then they write it down. Like, I'm always writing things down on my phone going, okay, well, people found that funny, so let's structure that and put that in our stand-up. You know? Yeah. So it's just really like observing what people are like reacting to is the best way to structure a joke, I feel.
Yeah, it's then most authentic. You go like, you just find that one thing, like you write that thing down and you try it out like 1,000 times just to polish it up. Like,
yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You have to like try it out and go, okay, why is this one land? Why doesn't this one land? Why is this one land in certain costs, audiences, and why doesn't this one land? And I mean, because there are stuff like that are solid in certain audiences that I try them out and I'm like, crickets, crickets. And you're like, okay, not the right audience. Try something else.
But, what was like, do you ever like, I get like everyone like dying laughing during set?
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten some really good reactions from some stuff, which is amazing. And you know, and then there's, you know, times when, you know, it's not your crowd, and it's hard at first when you're like starting out not to take that personally, but then the more you do it, the more you're like, it's just not, you know, like, I don't laugh at everything anybody says. It's just not, it doesn't speak to me, and that's okay. You know? You gotta get a little thick skin sometimes.
Who's your inspiration to start stand-up comedians watched?
Well, I mean, I grew up on like Saturday Night Live, like classic Saturday Night Live. And like my parents were really into listening to comedy albums and like stand-up specials like Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. Like, those are the kind of things I like. And Steve Martin, you know, I love like the fact that he did like King Tut and stuff like that. Like, that's actually on like my regular playlist. Like, people will be in my car and they'll be like, is that King Tut playing after Kendrick Lamar? And I'm like, absolutely, you're welcome. But I think like stuff like that really made a basis for me. And then when as I was getting older, you know, I started seeing more female comedians that I could really identify with. And I started out in improv though. So and then I was like, well, wouldn't it be cool if I didn't have to like wait for a team and I could do it myself. So that's how I got into it.
So,
hey everyone, you're invited to Harpy Hour. I'm Tracy.
I'm Liz.
I'm Steph.
We are the Harpies. And Harpy Hour is our new podcast featuring ridiculous stories in history, science, and entertainment.
Were you ever suspicious that pigeons were secretly spying on you?
How do you know who to eat first if you survive a shipwreck?
Do problematic musicals send you into an uncontrollable rage?
If so, then Harpy Hour might be your new favorite podcast. That's H-A-R-P-Y for Harpy, and new episodes air every Tuesday wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can also find us on all social media at Harpy Hour Pod.
And check us out on HarpyHourPodcast.com.
Okay, bye!
Hey guys, this is Heather and Kristen, the hosts of Sinister Sweethearts Podcast, and we want to share with you a little bit about our show.
If you're looking for fun banter between old college sweetmates about all things paranormal, sinister, weird, and generally creepy, check out our podcast available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast player.
Well, how'd you start acting?
I started acting when I was a kid. I was 3 or 4. Oof. When I started acting. Yeah, I I guess I was annoying my parents with like the fact that I was singing and tap dancing and acting all the time. And they were like, maybe we should just like get her an agent since she's doing it anyway. And yeah, it worked out. I had a pretty good career as a kid actor and just kind of never stopped. There's been lulls, but then I've never stopped.
What's been your favorite movie to do?
I think I always have the fondest memory of doing the Addams Family movies.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
I think those are, I just felt really at home on that set. It just really, it was just like a lot of fun. It was like everything that is kind of my personality, like quirky comedy and like with a horror element to it. I just have really fond memories of being on set for both those movies. And just the strangest things, like going to your tutoring tent where you're, you know, going to school for the day and like seeing Christina Ricci with some like apparatus splurting blood while we're all like doing our homework. It was just like such a fun experience, and everybody was so kind. And as a kid actor, you know, I always remembered that. So
what was the set like? It must have been like really cool. It was like to be in the Addams Family house, all the front.
Yeah, I mean, I was in a scene where it was in a school.
Yeah.
So we didn't get to see the house, which is kind of sucky. And then the second one, I was in the camp. So yeah. It wasn't that like, but the, I want to, one of the coolest things I remember seeing during break was Morticia sitting on those director chairs with like the big cell phones because they were like so big at the time. And she's just like sitting there like talking to her agent in her full costume. And that's, I just so cool. Remember thinking, ah, she's so cool, and hopefully one day I'll be that cool and have a giant phone like that.
So cool.
Yeah, it was pretty epic. But yeah, I mean, I didn't get to see the house, unfortunately, but I did get to see all the, you know, like everybody else was in the scenes, so the whole Addams Family was there.
Getting the one from six, trying to look it up, then getting the one from the 60s.
Oh yeah, the classic, the 60s one.
Still like one of the best intro theme songs.
Oh, it's amazing. It's one of those iconic theme songs that, I mean, nobody can do this. I don't think we have good theme songs anymore, really.
Like, do we even have theme songs? No, we don't.
Not really. It's more just like some kind of intro music. I mean, I think the coolest one we have right now is like Archer, and it's not really even like a, like, it's not like a theme song. It's just like a really cool intro.
Yeah.
You know? But it is cool. Like, I can't lie. Archer's intro is like the best. It's not like we used to have.
Is that show? Is that the anime show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, the Archer. Yeah.
Yeah, the same guy does Bob's Burger. The same voice actor, and it's so interesting.
Which one do you like better, Bob's Burgers or Archer?
I watch Bob's Burgers more, to be honest, but I do like Archer. But Bob's Burgers is just like one of the best family TV. I know you're not supposed to watch it with your kids or anything, but yeah. I think it's like one of the best family shows on. For sure. It's really a cute like show about a family. I love it.
It's really good.
Yeah. I will always like watch Bob's Burgers and feel happy, you know.
So what's been your favorite cryptid you talked about on your show so far?
Well, I have a love for Champ from Lake Champlain. And I think the reason I have a love for Champ is because he's the one I've looked for the most. When my sister was on the East Coast, I would go visit her and we'd go to Lake Champlain, and I'd just be like, I'm gonna go look for Champ. I never got to see him, But plus he's just like, it's really cool because like I feel like every massive amount of water has their own like Loch Ness monster, and so it's cool to see all the different versions of this lake monster out there, you know.
Yeah, that's what I found out too in the show. It's like, oh, you have a puddle, there's probably a lake monster there for sure.
Yeah, and I love when they look like almost like Littlefoot, like the dinosaurs, you know, like the I like that. We did talk about one which looked like a giant octopus, like a really mean octopus, and I was like, see, he's scary. Champ isn't scary, he's cute. I guess he does kind of attack people, so I guess it's not that cute, but I think I'd go swimming with him, so.
I'd like to.
Right? It'd be so fun.
Yeah, and there's like, I think there's like more evidence for Champ than it is for like Loch Ness Monster. It's like, pretty much everything that comes up with Loch Ness Monster turned out to be like a hoax.
I know, I know. I used to like really hope that one day like we were gonna find the Loch Ness Monster and I was gonna go to Scotland and I was gonna see him, and it just I guess we just keep finding out more hoaxes with it. I mean, I'm always hopeful that we're gonna find whatever cryptid, right? Like I'm always like, yeah, it would be cool, like sure, but it's a lot of times just confusion.
There's some cryptids I don't really want to meet, like water babies and like the werewolf mermaids that are in Alaska.
But that sounds so cool too, like a werewolf mermaid. The hybrid, I love it. I mean, you're right. I don't want to make, I probably, if I'm logically thinking about it, don't want to meet like the Jersey Devil. Yeah. And, you know, just some of these ones are super scary. Like, they're not just cryptids, they're monsters, you know? So I should probably say I don't want to meet them, but I'm a little curious.
Like, I'm curious. Me too.
I'm curious. Like, I don't know. I don't know how I'd react.
The Dirty Devil is like, what? He's like 200, he's a couple hundred years old now, I think.
Yeah, yeah, maybe I could outrun him. I don't know. Yeah,
probably an old, perhaps like a long, big, old white beard. Okay. Yeah.
Like, maybe I could take the Jersey Devil. I say that, and then the Jersey Devil like listens and he's like, oh, really? And then he comes to my house and I'm like, damn, you're right. I couldn't take you. I'm sorry, Jersey Devil. I can't take you.
Dirty Devil, I'm like, I'm the Jersey Shore.
How has that not been a sketch? How is Jersey Devil hanging out with this Jersey Shore not happened? It's brilliant.
It's like more scared of like Snoozy from like such South Park and make fun of.
Exactly. Like, what the fuck? You know, there just haven't been enough cryptids and sketch comedy. What's happening?
Here's your merch. Merch is cool. It's like guitar set up merch. I noticed. It's a fucking pain in the ass. Your merch is cool. I like your merch.
Thank you.
Over at Tee Public.
Yeah, Tee Public. It's you know, I found at first I was like making my own shirts to bring to like shows to sell, and I was like, this is a lot. Yeah. So Tee Public is really a cool way to just support your artists, and hopefully like Haunts and Hops will have t-shirts on there soon. Sweet. But yeah, like it's the easiest way, and you know, people buy. They do all kinds of stuff, you know? Mm. It's nice. It's nice.
It's cute. Was it hard, like, picking out, like, the like logos and stuff for shirts? It's like, I can't decide. I'm not really bad at signing stuff.
You know, I love just, like, when I'm watching TV, playing around and making graphics. that's probably not something fun to other people, but I like it. I like sitting there and like making different graphics and stuff like that. So it's not so much difficult for me because I kind of find it fun. It's like how some people are like, oh, I don't mind editing. It's so fun. And I'm like, ew.
What? Yeah. Like, that is awful.
Editing's horrible. But somebody out there is like, I like it. And I'm like, okay, I like making graphics. So it's not such a chore to me. I especially like making them for myself because, you know, I can just play around as long as I want. Sometimes making them for other people, I'm like, just make a decision. but yeah. I like it. I'll sit there and just be like, what can I make today?
Ever, like, do you use a lot like a vector graphics in your shirts?
Yeah, I mean, I play around with like a whole bunch of different programs because there's certain things that I can't just like, I'm not skilled enough to do on like Photoshop. So sometimes I, you know, use other programs to like supplement the things that I can't do. And I think that most people are just like, if I can't do Photoshop, then I can't do anything. And they get so frustrated. But there's so many programs out there, and just trying like all kinds of different ones and finding your fit is the best thing.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're not like proficient in everything, every program doesn't mean that you shouldn't try things and do it, you know?
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Eric and Jessica Carrier, the hosts of the Prairieland Paranormal Podcast.
If you're looking for a show that explores all things paranormal, with dramatic storytelling, historical research, relevant science, and witness accounts,
check out our show online at www.prairielandparanormalpodcast.com or through your favorite podcast player.
It's fun. Yeah.
Are you big into art and growing up?
Yeah, I mean, my sister's an artist. And actually, one of my paintings is like directly behind me. But I used to paint a lot, and I used to draw. Like, I was like, I'm gonna make my own comic book. I used to draw like all kinds of comic book characters. With like my high school boyfriend, we'd be like, we're gonna make ourselves into characters, and we made ourselves into characters, and I would always be like, and she is the most powerful woman in the world. Mm-hmm. She's like 10 times more powerful than any superhero. And he's like, but I'm the other superhero, I have to be powerful too. Like, he's like sitting there drawing off. I'm like, but I just made her the most powerful, so I'm so sorry. But yeah, I used to like make my own comics, and it was just, I got into manga for a while. I was drawing manga style for a while. Ooh. Yeah. I don't know. I
it's hard.
Always, yeah, it's very different than.
It's very different. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very different style. And I went through that phase, and then I just kind of went back to like classic, more like classical superhero drawing for a while. I don't know. I'm always like doing something weird, drawing something weird.
What do you think of like the like Netflix Marvel shows that were on like a couple years ago before they got taken off?
I mean, I was really into Jessica Jones,
oh, me too.
Luke Cage, Daredevil, and Punisher. I wasn't into the other ones like Defenders and was there Iron Fist too?
Yeah.
I wasn't into those, but I was really into Jessica Jones and Daredevil. And when they chose the Punisher, I remember them like announcing who the Punisher was gonna be, and I was like, no, because I loved the Punisher from the comic books and from the movies. I was like, no, he's not gonna be good. And then he like was in Daredevil for like 5 seconds, and I was like, I eat my words, he is so good, he's like one of our best Punishers ever. So I was pretty bummed when they like basically tanked the whole series of Marvel TV shows. I understood why, but
I think they ended with like that giant hole in the earth thing, and like, oh, bye, we have to go now because Disney owns us. Bye.
Yeah, Yeah, I heard that the contracts are able to be relaunched like either in the next year or next 2 years. So they can relaunch all those series, I think, on like Disney Plus or something like that. And I'm like, all right, relaunch them. I love those characters. I think what they did with Daredevil versus what they did with Daredevil in the movies is so much
better.
So much better. Like,
yeah.
100% better, because I could not care less about the Daredevil movies. Like, yeah. I just did not care about Elektra. Did not care about, you know. But they really made some really good, vivid, like, comic book heroes that were flawed, which is my favorite thing. Like, I love an anti-hero. I'm yeah. such an anti-hero girl. So, yeah, like, I was really into it. So I'm hoping we get something similar when they relaunch it.
How they did Kingpin in season one was really good.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, like, Kingpin in the movies, they cast like, well. Yeah. I mean, it was cast well. It just was horrible. Like, yeah. how they messed that up. But obviously, he in the TV series, he was allowed to get more gritty and more. Really get into the character for a longer time period. So it was cool though. They did a really good job with the TV series. Really good.
Jessica Jones was amazing. I love every season.
Every season of Jessica Jones was great. It was weird seeing Tennant be so bad, like David Tennant.
I know. I've also seen him being like really nice in Doctor Who.
Yeah. You're like, but he's so nice. And I think so many of me and my friends were like, oh, but like, he's okay. Like, and then we're like, no, wait, we're not supposed to feel this way about him. No. Like, he's a real bad guy in this. So I think that was like such good casting, because it really did give that confusion that his character would give. Like, I don't know. That was very good casting. I mean, I think they did a really good job at casting everybody in the Marvel TV or Netflix series, except for maybe like I can't really judge too much, because I just did not care as much. I watched a little bit and I was just like So I mean, maybe I didn't give him a big enough chance, but he was just not that interesting to me.
Trish Walker in season two was really good. It's like, I'm not sure if they're going for, but it seems like they're talking about like addiction.
Yeah. Like, really, for sure.
And how people deal with past trauma and stuff.
I thought that's what they were going to do with like Oracle in the DC universe. I think that I was like, oh, we're going to see, you know, like PTSD and the exploration of that. And we just haven't gotten that series yet. Because I think that would also be a really cool series if you're into the DC universe. Because I think they did it really well with Jessica Jones, like showing addiction and post-traumatic stress. I think they did a great job on that. And in Punisher, yeah. I think they like really made it. They gave Punisher like so much depth that I think the movies probably didn't give him as much. But I still love the movies, so yeah. I mean, but yeah.
Is Punisher's monologue in like, what was it, T'Pain? When he's done it in the cemetery, when he's just got fighting.
Yeah. Thanos.
That was really good. I cried.
Yeah, no, he was amazing. And I was just so, I just ate my words so much, because I was so like violently opposed to him being the Punisher. And I literally like went on air to one of my podcasts and I was like, I'm wrong. He's the greatest. I'm stupid.
You like the, what was that one Punisher? The Punisher movie from the 90s?
Yeah, the Thomas Jane one?
No, the...
Which one?
With Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah! I forget about that one. I kind of forget about that one. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I wouldn't be able to see how I feel about that one. I mean, it's probably worth a watch again, I guess.
It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it would be like me going back in time and watching Masters of the Universe now.
Yeah.
I'd be like, no.
Problems.
There's some problems, but I liked it so much as a kid.
What do you think? Do you like? Are you a big DC fan too?
I mean, I lean more toward Marvel, unless we're going into like the Vertigo.
Vertigo, yeah.
Like area of DC. I'm becoming more of a DC fan, I think, as I get older. But I was so like Marvel heavy as a kid and a teenager. And I definitely struggle with the DC movies more.
Yeah. I don't know what the problem is with, you can't make a DC movie to save your life.
Yeah, and then when we have the DC shows, that we have, I mean, a lot of them are on like the CW and stuff like that. It's just not quite my jam.
Yeah, very, very sitcom-y, very like serial.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, everything's fine, another show, bye.
Yeah, and so I think I'm trying to, you know, because obviously you have to appreciate DC for what they've done.
Yeah,
over the years they've, you know, they're a behemoth. Like they them and Marvel are like the ones that really made comics what they are today, and I'm trying to appreciate them more, but I do skew more to the Marvel side of things.
Do you watch Lucifer?
No, and I was just talking to somebody the other day that I was like, oh, I should start watching Lucifer because I hear good things. I think it's more procedural, right? It's like more like a detective cop show.
Yeah.
But with Satan.
Yeah.
I gotta get into it. My mom actually was an extra in it last year.
Oh, cool.
I was like, oh, we should watch it so we can see you in the background.
Party.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think was the best Spider-Man?
Who?
Yeah.
Was the best Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Now, I'm gonna be the worst about this and say... Okay, I'm gonna say Spider-Man Into the Verse, Miles Morales.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be what makes me the worst, because I'm not that into Peter Parker. I am into Miles Morales. I'm into Venom.
Hey guys, this is Eric and Jessica Carrier, the hosts of the Prairie Land Paranormal Podcast. And we are excited to officially be part of the Paranormality Radio Network.
If you're looking for a show with variety and are interested in taking deep rabbit hole dives into topics such as legend, lore, conspiracy, and creepypasta, all with a little bit of a storytelling, research, and personal experience twist,
check out our show at ParanormalityRadio.com, PrairielandParanormalPodcast.com, or through your favorite podcast player.
The Venom was really good. I liked Venom. I
loved the movie. I know some people were like so like anti the movie, and I was like, this is all I've ever wanted as a like comic book geek.
It's like a perfect kid. Venom movie. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's so fun. I mean, like, I think as a Venom fan for as long as I've been, since I was a kid, that is exactly the movie I wanted to see.
You like Venom more as like an anti-hero or like a villain?
I like him as an anti-hero.
It's more fun.
Yeah, I think it's more fun. I think it's more complex. I think it just makes it. I mean, I just like anti-heroes.
Yeah,
I'm obviously based on this conversation, you know, I love an anti-hero. I'm very much into that. I'm very much into the complex leads. You know, I was a Wolverine girl from the beginning, yeah. You know. Yeah, he's so complex and so broody. I liked it.
Yeah, that was like perfect casting for Wolverine.
Except for the height.
Yeah. Like Wolverine's shorter.
Really small. Yeah. But that's okay. I think it only bothered me in one movie where he was like towering over everybody. I was like, that's not Wolverine, but that's okay. Cause he does in every other aspect, he's a really good Wolverine. I think in the future though, if we were to do another Wolverine, I would like him to be under 5'9".
Yeah.
You know, Wesley Snipes is 5'9".
Is he?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's people out there. We could get like Taron Egerton to play Wolverine.
Cool.
Yeah, that would be cool, right? He's like 5'9", 5'8", something like that.
What's your favorite X-Men movie?
Logan?
Yeah. That was really good.
Even though it did not follow Old Man Logan to a T, it still was a very amazing movie. Yeah. I mean, Old Man Logan had so many weird storylines going on. There was no way they were going to put them all into a movie. But
yeah. That's fine. Cool scene. I think they like had done him and Professor X haven't been in a movie technically in a while because they were doing like the old flashback X-Men movies.
Right.
And it was good to see them together.
Yeah. I mean, I love Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart's awesome.
He's great. It's really funny. Like, he's another one that like we've started to see him and be villains and stuff. And I'm like, wait, but it also really works because you're like so endeared to him that when he like betrays you in the movie, you're like, oh, like,
my heart,
my childhood. No. It got me right in the childhood. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the flashback X-Men, but yeah, Patrick Stewart's still my favorite Professor X.
I didn't see I still haven't seen the Phoenix one yet, Dark Phoenix. I'll send you a watch it.
I should probably watch it because I do like her. I do like her. I know it got really bad reviews, and I was a little like scared to see it.
Yeah. Sometimes they mess up. Sometimes they like mess up the timeline in comics and shows. I'm like, oh, like compared to like what happens in the comics.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, this doesn't happen. Like, why are you here? Like with Joker, no, not Joker, but Gotham. Like they play like why are you here? Yeah, like you weren't supposed to be here because you're only here. You only become a villain because Batman's here, and Batman's not here yet, so what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, that one... But, you know, also Joker kind of messed with the timeline a lot, too.
Yeah.
But I just kind of have to, like, when I go into certain movies now or TV shows, I go, okay, this is just an alternate universe. It's not on canon. You know, like, we're just gonna say this is a whole different universe. It's a whole different ball game. And otherwise I get mad, you know, and then I don't want to watch it. So, well,
speaking of cryptids and comics, did you ever see Swamp Thing?
I didn't see the TV show. You're talking about the TV show, right?
Or the movie, either one?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's really good. It's like
is
a.
Is it?
It's really good, yeah.
Okay, I have to check it out. I told you, I'm a Marvel girl. I need to get more up on the DC.
Are they doing I think they're doing another Doctor Strange, are they?
I heard they're doing a Doctor Strange, and then it's going to be dark, very dark.
Yes.
And I am all into that.
I'm all into it.
Yeah, I was like, I heard that it's gonna be way darker, and I was like, yes, sign me up.
I was rewatching the first one, and like, oh, this is bit rushed. This movie's a little bit rushed. I don't know why. Like, it's...
Well, I think they were just trying to cram in, like, so much mythology. They were like, here, let's give you all this mythology so that it makes sense when he's in the Avengers.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but, like, we could rest here for a second. No? Okay. just go ahead.
I think it was, like, the climax. I think the climax was, like, rushed. Because, like, you see him, like, my hands are broken.
Yeah.
It's, like, magic. And, like, magic all its information from, like, the Marvel Universe into, like, an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is weird. Because, like, they don't mind doing, like, 2.5 hour, 3 hour movies. So why didn't they just, like, expand it? I don't know.
What do you think of the... What was the last Marvel movie? The freaking game or something?
Oh, Endgame?
Endgame, yeah, thank you.
I mean, I think it was long. Yeah, I think it was. It had so much going on.
Yeah.
So much to wrap up.
It's hard to write. I couldn't write it.
Yeah. No, I don't know how you tackle that. It almost felt like it should have been a part one, part two.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. I mean, you have to respect. I respect all the Avengers movies because they are trying to process so much information in one film.
Yeah.
It is an unimaginable task. And sometimes they do it pretty well. And sometimes something gets lost and I just go, Yeah, it's like, it depends on who your favorite characters are, right? Yeah. Like, if your favorite characters are getting really highlighted in it, it's hard. I'm not a Captain America fan, so it's hard for me. yeah.
I kind of wish they had like a Squirrel Girl cameo.
I thought we were going to get a Squirrel Girl. I thought with everything that was going on and the fact that really Squirrel Girl should be there.
Yeah.
like comic book wise, I thought we were going to get it. And I thought we were getting teasers. Like we were getting like, we were possibly getting a TV show. We were getting like a Squirrel Girl this, and the comic book was kind of taking off a little bit. And I was like, we didn't get her. I don't know. I know people were like, Anna Kendrick should play her. And I was like, okay, but like, just give it to her. Yeah. Like give us Squirrel Girl. It's one of the most popular, characters characters at Comic-Con for cosplay in the last few years. Like, I've seen so many Squirrel Girls, and I was like, you see that there's a need right here. Yeah. Like, there's a million little girls dressed up as Squirrel Girl, which is so much better than them dressing up as Harley. So.
And they always dress up like as a one from Suicide Squad, not the one from the show.
Right, because I feel like if they dressed up as the one from the show, it would be a little bit more. But there's always like these little girls in like little tiny short shorts and fishnets, and I'm like, I mean, do you, boo? But yeah. I wonder if I asked my mom when I was a kid, I'm gonna dress up like Harley Quinn. But like the Suicide Squad one, I wonder if my mom would let me. Maybe. I don't know.
I'll get yelled at. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think I just, I mean, I always dressed up as She-Ra when I was a kid, so.
She-Ra. She-Ra's awesome. How's the show? I haven't catched the show yet.
The new She-Ra?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. I think it's different. As a She-Ra fan growing up, I think this is a real good She-Ra for a new generation. And yeah, I think it's really good for young girls to watch it now. I know that there is a series coming out with my friend Tiffany Smith that's going to be Masters of the Universe that I'm super excited about. And I'm so excited and so proud of her to be in that. So I can't wait to hear her new character. Yeah, it's like a dream that I know somebody on the cast of Master of the Universe.
So you've done some voiceover work too, right?
Yeah, I have. I mean, I did stuff as a kid, and I continue to do like audiobooks, and I have a new audiobook that's coming out soon, Death of a Bounty Hunter, that is like a sci-fi western in space, and I get to play a really cool kind of like, she's like a witch, but she's also like a kick ass. She's a lot of things. She's very complicated. So it's a lot of fun. And I love doing voiceovers, and now is the time to do as many voiceovers as we can.
Oh, that'd be fun. I think I want to be like that one NPC character of the Harvest of them, be passing by. I did that of that guy.
You want to be that guy?
Of that one random guy he passed by like in 3 hours in the movie, the game, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's somebody that plays that. So that could be you.
Yeah. Or like, to like, just like make one bush in a giant like procedural. Like, I make that one bush.
We're that. I mean, that's a great gig, you know? I think it's weird. I like animation more than I like video games. Video games is such an interesting thing to record. Because you have to record all these, like, weird grunts, like, all the time. Like, it's just, like, a whole day of, like, which is just fun. Fun and weird.
What's your favorite, like, animated thing you voiceover for?
My favorite animated thing I did a voiceover for. Ooh, that's a hard question. I don't know. I guess when I was a kid, I did this really cool Mother Goose one that was like so 90s. I just remember thinking this is such a weird 90s. I just liked it. I think it was cute. It was fun. But like, yeah, I think that's the coolest animation one. I mean, I did a lot of voiceovers for like soundtracks and stuff like that for like live action and even like rides and stuff like that. Yeah. And yeah, it's all different. It's all cool.
Big on roller coasters?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I need a little bit of talking into it, but then there's like, it's like a very easy conversation. Like, I'm gonna go on this. Do you want to go on it? No. You sure? Okay. I like going to like Six Flags and stuff like that. Yeah. There's certain rides I just don't want to go on. Like, I don't like that Green Lantern ride. Like, I don't want to go on it. But that's pretty much everything else. I'm good.
I saw like waiting like 3 hours in line for like a minute, ride for a minute. Like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. It is a little intense. I mean, I'm an avid like amusement park person. Like, I'm always at amusement parks when we're obviously not in quarantine.
Yeah.
So I'm down to try most rides. I just like being in amusement parks.
Yeah. I like eating the music park food. It's good.
Yeah. that's one of the biggest benefits, right? Like, I love when they have like the weird food festivals too, like at Disneyland. I'm like always like all about that.
All about that.
Like, yeah.
Put it on a stick and fry. I'm good.
Yeah. All good with me.
What was your favorite like animated movie you've seen recently?
Recently, my favorite animated movie I've seen recently. Well, like a new one. I mean, I rewatched one of my favorite ones, which is a Goofy movie. I've been rewatching it. I love that movie so much, but that's not really new.
That's still great.
It's just one of my favorites. I just love everything about it. I buy way too much merch whenever they have a Goofy movie anything or Powerline anything. I buy it. I'm just all about it.
That scene with Sasquatch or Bigfoot in their fridge. It's still hilarious.
It's so great. I mean, and also like that possum farm or the possum amusement park, scary as hell. But realistic. Yeah. I've been to parks like that. You're like, I am scared.
Oh. It's like, go to Chuck E. Cheese and like, oh no.
Exactly. You're like, no.
Oh. So what do you like on your pizza?
Oh, I'm a like banana peppers, olive, like I like all kinds of different kinds of cheeses.
Yeah.
And like all kinds of weird veggies.
Yummy.
Although, you know, I do like when I put like, you know, like the barbecue pizza, the chicken one. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that. I had a Philly cheesesteak one once and it was really good too.
Yeah.
I like weird pizzas.
Me too. I like a spinach and spinach one. It's like, oh no.
No, not a spinach pizza person.
No, this it wasn't seasoned well, or this is, spinach was like not good, cooked well or something about it.
Yeah, that's the thing about putting veggies on pizzas. There are certain places I'm like, I will not have veggies on this pizza because I know how you make the veggies and they're not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we made you put pizza on the veggies. Oh, I forgot to cook the veggies. They're raw. You're eating a salad on a pizza.
Yeah. Or they put them like in a lot of oil and you're like, okay, well now it's just soggy and slimy and I don't want that. Like there's a little balance there that needs to happen.
It's called roasting the veggies.
Yes. Exactly.
Are you big on coffee?
No, I don't like coffee at all.
Oh.
I know. I'm the only person in the world.
Are you more of a tea person?
Yeah, I drink tea, like, a lot.
My girlfriend has, like, a whole, like, drawer of tea. She has...
That's me. I have, like, a tea box, and then I have a tea cupboard. Yeah, that's me. I was literally drinking a tea latte that I made at home. Gone now, but I drank.
We had like made like tea. We had tea. We had little cups and everything.
Yep.
Very nice.
Yeah, I like. I have a really cool tea set that. Like one of those like classic porcelain ones, but it has scary stories. Do you know the scary story books?
I'm not familiar with it.
They're like these really graphic kids books, like horror stories. Anyway, I have like little pictures of them on the tea set, so people are like, oh, that's such a nice tea set. Oh my god. I'm like, yep, that is a severed head. You're welcome. Drink out of that.
Is that from Sleepy Hollow?
No, it's from Scary Stories They Tell in the Dark. It's a they made a movie last year that was not that good, but it was a book series when I was a kid that was like really popular.
What's your favorite? What's been your favorite movie adaptation of a book?
My favorite movie adaptation of a book. I'm always so disappointed by so many. Like, that's the problem.
Come on.
I'm like trying to think like what one like made me. I mean, Dr. Sleep was pretty good. I was surprised. Yeah. I was a little surprised that they went where they went with it, because when I was reading the book, I was thinking, they're not gonna do any of this because it's too much. Like they're not gonna kill kids like this in a movie. They did.
So. I like little girl's awesome.
She's
a badass.
Yeah. And I was glad they kept her character very similar to the book as well. Like I was pleasantly surprised about how accurate it was to the book. Which is not always the way it is with Stephen King books.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's a pretty close adaptation.
It too was, the ending was long. It was so long.
Yeah, I don't know that why we needed that the second one to be that long. Yeah, you know, they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the better adaptions that we've seen is Dr. Sleep. I'm trying to think of another one. I do like the TV series. Oh gosh. That's Stephen King based.
It's been a bunch.
Yeah, no, it's like currently on Hulu, and it like every season's a different, it's a different, like book. Like last season was Castle Rock.
Castle Rock, yeah.
Yeah, I like that one. I mean, I don't think it's that accurate to different books that it's, but it is interesting how they, they've been, you know, using these different stories and like weaving them together. Like last season was Misery and Salem Slot, and they were just like going at the same time, and I was like, oh, like how's that gonna work? But it kind of works. So
it's been like a maybe adaptations of books. I think they did a pretty good job with Harry Potter, I think.
They did. Yeah. They did. She's pissing me off right now, but I'm a Harry Potter fan, but I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. I'm not a huge J.K. Rowling fan.
The Fantastic Beasts movie are okay. They're fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably like two, like, I don't know that we needed it, but they've been interesting and fun. For the most part. Yeah.
Well, they print money, so.
Yeah, they definitely do.
What would be like one movie adaptation of a book you'd like to see?
Maybe.
Like your favorite book.
I really loved this book I read this year called The Water Dancer. The Ta-Nehisi Coates. I would like to see that as a movie. It's like supernatural and like the Underground Railroad. I think that would be cool. Yeah, I mean, I think if they gave it to Misha Green, who did Lovecraft Country, I think it would be great because I'm all about the Lovecraft Country.
I've been life. That show, it's awesome.
It is amazing. It's amazing. The book's amazing, but the series is amazing.
I just see House of the Scorpion because I think that show, that book is really good.
Yeah.
I read it when I was like fifth grade. I was like, this is really good. This is really deep for a fifth grade, is like going into identity and ethics.
And they haven't made it into a movie yet. I'm surprised. I feel like they're making everything into a movie now, right? For a TV show.
Man, I want to do about like Black Panther.
Yeah, I think they just need to do the Women of Wakanda in the future.
Yeah. That'd be dope.
Yeah, I mean, that's where we're at with the series, I feel like. And unless you're going to bring back Killmonger, it's okay, too.
I could. They always bring back.
They can bring him back. They can find a way. They definitely can do it.
Like, oh, well, he fell down and he caught a ledge this time.
Yeah, or they like had some kind of regenerative like potion happen. I mean, it's Wakanda; they could do whatever they want.
Yeah, they brought back Bucky. So yeah. I can't.
they can totally bring back Killmonger. And he's not wrong, so.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a little violent, but he's not wrong either. And so he could definitely come back. But I think if they just focus on the women of Wakanda, I think it'll be the best.
Yeah.
Best thing that they can do.
I hope his sister becomes the new Black Panther.
Yeah. I mean, she was the one that was doing most of the technology and everything anyway. So, I mean, she's prime for it. And I like her as an actress too. I think she's great. I think she could carry a series for sure.
For real.
Yeah.
Who's going to be next Iron Man? Is there a next Iron Man after Tony Stark? Or
I heard that Robert Downey was trying to like kind of prime what's his name?
Tom Holland.
But I don't know how that works.
Yeah, because I think he like in the movie, like he just became Spider-Man, so
yeah.
He still has like a lot of Spider-Verse stuff to go through.
Yeah.
It's like
I don't
Green Goblin.
He's not ready. But he's so young, and I mean, we could just go through like, I guess, Iron Patriot and stuff.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool to see a female Thor. It's gonna be dope.
Yeah, that will be cool. Yeah, I was wondering if they were gonna do that, and it makes so much sense now that Natalie Portman took that role.
Yeah, her and like, I was watching like B for Vendetta. That was so good.
I love you for Vendetta. It always makes me feel like it could take over the world.
Yes. Like, a strike.
Yeah.
Give me a raise.
If you see the movie, you always feel like a revolutionary after watching.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah.
Dude. What's going on? What's like the... What's going on with Marvel? Marvel's crazy. Like, I don't know what's going on with Marvel now. It's like they're doing like a whole new set of movies.
I know. We're getting Blade back.
Blade back, yeah.
Which I'm all for. After all, Blade is what started the Marvel universe in the first place.
Yeah. What's your favorite Blade movie?
I mean, I have to say that I love the first Blade because it was revolutionary to anything I was seeing. But I do like Trinity. I know I should probably not like Trinity, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. I think Ryan Reynolds was so fun in it.
Yeah.
Also, just seeing those little Pomeranians become like vampires was so weird. The little Pomeranian like mouth. Yeah. It's the scariest thing.
Oh, I did that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and Jessica Biel is in it too, right?
Yeah.
I have a girl crush on her. Anything she's in, I'm like, yep.
Yeah, she's great in 7. I think I had a crush on her for like ever. I was like, oh no.
I got a crush on her, not really in 7th Heaven, but she did Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, huh. I'm in love with her, and yet I'm straight. I don't know. I have feelings. That was a very bloody remake. Unlike the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which is like everyone thinks is so bloody, but it is not.
What's your favorite, like, horror movie?
Favorite horror movie. Well, I know the one that always used to scare me as a kid was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Like, he was always the most scary to me because of the dream aspect, I think. So I have a special place in my heart for Nightmare on Elm Street. My favorite one... I mean, I like Get Out. And then I also like really foreign, weird horror movies. Like, I like Frontier or Le Pacte de Loup, The Brotherhood of the Wolf, which is kind of like a horror movie, but also cryptid, but also like historical. It's like so weird, but it's so cool. It also has like a martial arts element to it that's like really cool.
That sounds like a really dope movie.
It is. It's like one of the biggest productions I feel like France ever did. And it's about like these werewolves that are attacking people in this like town. But like all the fighting is like very martial arts based, and I don't know, it's just pretty epic. So I like that, even though it's like technically not horror, but I think it is because like everybody's being like ripped apart by these werewolves. So I don't know, it combines a lot of genres, but I like that a lot. Yeah.
Well, who's your favorite like movie monster?
So I'm always like all around my house. I have Bride of Frankenstein and Frankenstein. I'm very much into the classic, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein thing.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I think they're my favorite, even though they have a very complicated relationship.
What was that?
Hello, everyone. This is Brandon, the host of the ParaUnity Podcast, wanting to take a second to tell you about our show. The ParaUnity Podcast is your top choice for closing the distance between the paranormal groups. From ghosts, to cryptids, to ufology, we will discuss it all. The ParaUnity Podcast is aimed at promoting positivity and collaboration between investigators, and is geared specifically for those in the field. But if you're not, you'll still get a kick out of the show as well, because you'll be able to think of it like ghost hunters talking shop. Tune in and join myself and all of our amazing guests as we entertain you with sensational stories of fantastic places, events, tips for your investigations, and so much more. And remember, you can find the ParaUnity Podcast on your favorite podcast directory and part of the Paranormality Radio Network.
Someone did a quick series. The guy from HBO did a Frankenstein show. What was it called?
Not Penny Dreadful, right?
Not Penny Dreadful, but the dad from Game of Thrones. He did a. I forget his name.
The guy that wrote Game of Thrones?
He was a guy who died and got his head cut off.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I know.
Sean Bean?
Yeah, Sean Bean did it.
Oh, I didn't know Sean Bean did a Frankenstein series.
It's really good. The Frankenstein Chronicles.
Oh, I love Sean Bean.
Yeah.
You always think he's gonna die and stuff, though.
I know. He kind of did in this one. They came back.
Yeah. He dies a lot. I got to interview him once at WonderCon. And I was like, why do you die in everything? And he's like, I guess I do die a lot. He's like, I forgot what TV show I was interviewing him for. He goes, but this one I don't die. Or do I? I don't know. So far I'm not dead. He was really cool.
Did you read the Mary Shelley novel Frankenstein?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I love the classics. Like I was an Edgar Allan Poe like reader as a kid, like a teenager, and I read Frankenstein every few years again. You know, Dracula every few years I decide I'm gonna read it again, and then I'm like. Yeah, Frankenstein is so much better.
It is better.
But it's a classic. Both are classics. Just, I'd rather watch What We Do in the Shadows than read Dracula again.
Yeah. Yeah, Dracula's like, oh, here's letters from with his face about, I'm pretty sure I'm getting raped, pretty much.
Yeah.
In his castle.
Yeah. I feel like Mary Shelley like really liked the genre she was writing, whereas like Bram Stoker didn't quite love that he was, he wrote it and then he was like, I don't really want to write this kind of stuff anymore. And I'm like, you can kind of tell that this was a one-off for you.
Is it, oh God, I think remember, what was his name? Robert Downey Jr. No, not Robert Downey Jr. What's his face from, he did a really good Frankenstein movie. It's like really good.
Are you talking about the old like 90s one?
Yeah.
With Jesus.
I'm not worried.
And they had the bride in there too. Very, very.
They bury him.
Yeah.
Damn it. I don't know his name.
It's so weird. Why can't I think of it?
I don't. Marshall. Was Mary Shelley Frankenstein? It was Robert De Niro.
That's right. I kept actually thinking about Robert De Niro, and I was like, "You're an idiot. He's not in a movie." So he was. Yeah. All right.
What do you think about his Frankenstein? I think he did a really good job of that.
I mean, I thought that whole movie was good. Yeah. I thought I could have gotten a little bit more bride. But yeah, it also made sense that we got what we got from the bread. I thought it was a good movie.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think the classic scene of him talking to the blind person to help him. That's really good.
Yeah. It has like a lot of iconic scenes from the book in there. And I think it was really respectful of the book.
I get kind of mad when people call the creature the Frankenstein. Oh, like weird.
Oh yeah, because he's Frankenstein's monster.
You call him the creature.
The creature.
It's like I'm alive. Like, what's happening? Ah. Like, why is this breaks? Like, he's taller. He's previously a taller. It's like, why you love me? He's like on tantrum.
Yeah. He's a little heartbreaking. I think that's why I like Frankenstein.
Dracula's boring. Dracula's kind of boring to me. I don't know why.
I like vampires. I don't necessarily like Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think. Angel is more interesting of a character, of a vampire character.
Or Spike.
Yeah, Spike's awesome. Yeah. Like, he gets his soul back and he's like, so emotional for like two seasons.
I know.
So I can't deal with life. I'll stay in school.
Yeah, he's so emo.
So, oh, jeez. Go Spike, you're so. You're perfectly cast. You're perfect for the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you remember the movie, the Buffy movie before the show?
Yes, I loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I mean, I think that's why I was so excited when the TV show came out. I was like, oh my god, I love the movie.
Wait, who's this? What's up, Buffy? Looks different. She's different. Okay, I'm used to it.
But I was sold. Yeah. Sarah Michelle Gellar was amazing. And when they continue the verse, which I heard they're, coming out with a new Slayer, I will be on board, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad they're not. I'm kind of glad, but I'm like kind of 50-50 on. I'm like 80-20 on them having new cast.
On for the new Buffy?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to do her as Buffy. She's just going to be a different Slayer.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
because
too.
They're not replacing her. So yeah, like I feel better about it.
Me too. Charmed. Are you big on Auntie Charmed?
No, I really wasn't. I don't know why. It was just all about Buffy. Buffy, Angel, all that.
I don't like how they did end it, Angel.
No, I mean, but I had to like complete them all because I just loved.
Yeah.
I was a Joss Whedon fan. Like I'm a, like, I still kind of am. I know that there's like rumors about him, or not rumors. There's some interesting situations now with him, but I was a Joss Whedon fan. I loved everything he did. I loved the Joss.
I'm trying to figure what else he did. I think he did some. Did he do Marvel?
Yep. He did the first Avengers.
Yeah. It's like, oh. Look at his filmography. Serenity. Atlantis. What is it, Atlantis? What the hell? Did Toy Story?
I guess so.
Did he? The fuck? Avengers, Justice League. Twister's good. I love Twister.
Twister was good. Flying Cows.
Ooh, Firefly.
Yeah, Firefly. Also Dollhouse, which I liked, but it was short-lived.
Angel's Shield. Do you like Angel's Shield?
I did. I have kind of like stopped watching it.
Me too.
So, yeah.
I was watching it for a few seasons, and like yeah. It got into like, oh, we're in an alternate space, and we're in a spaceship, and like, what? This is crazy. No.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of veered off at that point. I thought they were really going to go into Inhumans, and they didn't, so.
I was hoping they were going to, like, more, like, Inhumans are mutants. Earths yeah. are mutants, and they go into more into that aspect of things than.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Ghost Rider, space, we're in space now, and no, I can't.
Yeah. Agreed.
We need a Ghost Rider series.
I mean, we had one, but we should have a different one.
Yeah. So it's like being. So what's like being on a podcast? Is it crazy?
Doing a podcast?
Yeah.
I mean, I like it, especially now that we're in quarantine, and it's a great way to keep active and doing something. I like it, you know. It keeps me busy and connected.
For real. I know Phil. It's like, oh. Do you get I got a thing from like voting, like, oh, my people to vote in order to vote thing. I do that once tomorrow, I guess.
Oh, work. That's cool.
Dope.
Yeah.
It was tired. I'm like, it's light in my face. I don't like it.
You need rest.
I know. I do, like, go to work here in a minute. And
oh, no.
Like, oh, overtime. Like, great.
Overtime's good. But I'm glad we got to talk to each other before it. This has been really fun.
Thank you. I think it's really fun, too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think when I should put this up. I like, oh, I need to do stuff, like edit. And like, do you ever like do like promo, like advertisements on your podcast? And like, I have no idea where to put this, or is it people are like,
yeah,
I hate this advertisement. I will never listen to your podcast again.
I know. But that's how we have to. Yeah,
I gotta put it. I'm sorry.
It has to go in there. I'm sorry. That's how I continue to make this podcast.
Thank you. Well, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Come on. Where people can find your podcast and all your info?
Well, you can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, Anastasia TV on YouTube, and there's always links to all of my podcasts on there, and my stand-up shows and all that are all in the bio of my social media, so you can find it all there.
Yeah. So definitely subscribe and leave a review. This is awesome. This is great. 5 stars.
Yeah, exactly. That really helps us as podcasters. Yes,
it really does.
Please do it.
It's like, oh, no one is listening to it. No one's leaving reviews. I guess you're at the bottom of charts where no one can find you ever.
Yeah. So if you really like it, and you really care about your podcasting friends or, listening to a podcast, please rate and review. It helps so much.
And tell your friends about it. Because word of mouth is really helpful.
Very helpful.
Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. And have a good day at work.
You too.
Thanks.
Chillin'.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Monster Legend Podcast. Hope you were able to find us on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We also have our own website at monsterlegendpodcast.com. If you'll be so kind, please leave a review and subscribe and let me know what I can do to make this show better for you. If you have any stories you'd like to submit or you'd like to be a guest, send me an email or a DM. But I hope you do one thing that's really important and have a great day. Thank you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.